One, here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special U.S. Open Cup quarterfinal recap show. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. You can get my readings daily on MajorLeagueSoccerTalk.com, as well as other writers on MajorLeagueSoccerTalk.com, like Eric Alschul. Joining me today, Brian Kaiser, the public address announcer at home, the road play-by-play announcer for the Harrisburgers, and unfortunately for Harrisburg, Brian, the carriage has just reverted back to the pumpkin.
Yeah, things did not go well last night against DC United as United eliminated our City Islanders by a score of 2-0. It just started right off the bat, and anytime you give up a goal within the first minute of play, any of that emotion, any of that momentum, and any of those plans that you had going to the game completely go out the window, and that's basically what happened. We got sucker punched right in the gut early and never recovered.
That's absolutely terrible, because obviously the earliest goal given up by Harrisburg, you have to go all the way back to round one. It was Marco Hamilton from the Brooklyn Italians, 16th minute, but then again 3 minutes later, Harrisburg would equalize. Unfortunately, no equalizer would be coming in this one. Mr. Pelletier, 23rd minute, got a yellow card. JT Noon, yellow card in the 33rd. And then obviously you get to halftime only giving up a goal. You figured, you know, you could probably rework the game plan, but Tabiso Kumalo just ruined your chances again in the 47th.
Well, and that goal was, I mean, the first goal that was scored by DC was the play where they sent a ball down on the left flank, and there was a misplay in the back to allow Quaranta to get behind the defense. And he played a nice ball, and it was finished off well by the Montenegro international, Branko Boskovic. The Kumalo goal, though, was a killer because – not just because it gave DC United that two-goal cushion that really put them at ease. It was such an innocuous play. Kumalo gets the ball down the right flank. All he's trying to do is cross to the right side, to the opposite post. And as he's getting set to cross the ball, Danny Sapero, our goalie, comes off his line a little bit. And as he looks up to figure out where Kumalo is crossing the ball, Kumalo, not being a great crosser necessarily of the ball, has the ball squirt off of his foot, and he accidentally crossed the ball into the goal. And, you know, when you have bad luck like that, that's just one of those plays. And everyone knew what had happened at that point, because Kumalo even raised his hands up in that apologetic, oops, I didn't really try to do that, but it counts. It's a goal. And, really, if there was any chance at that point for Harrisburg, that pretty much finished it off.
And that's, of course, once again, a lower-level side, third-division side, Harrisburg City Islanders, even though you lose and not advance to the semifinals. In a certain way, you win, because you went into extra time in round three against the New York Red Bulls, and apparently you've won the bonus prize from U.S. Soccer.
That's what we understand, is because of winning in extra time, Harrisburg officially, they end up having a better result in the third round than Charleston, who went the same distance as Harrisburg. But Charleston, because they advanced in penalty kicks, it's officially listed as a draw. So because Harrisburg won in extra time in the third round, and whereas Charleston drew and then advanced in PKs, Harrisburg going the same distance in the next round ends up getting the money.
There you go, and it's very good for Harrisburg. And what will the City Islanders do with that bonus? You know, extra pay for the players? Will you know, possibly fixing up a little bit the Skyline Sports soccer field?
My guess actually is just to really help defray some of the operating costs, because as you know, that any time you have one of the lower-level soccer teams, anything below MLS, it's difficult to turn a profit. It's difficult. And while the City Islanders, they have an excellent organization, hey, it's tough in today's market to really have financial success in soccer in USL too. And when you're breaking even, you're doing well a lot of times. And this is a team that the $10,000 really is going to come in handy. It's something that really will defray maybe some of the road costs from the entire season and really help out in that regard. I think you'll see maybe Harrisburg benefit from this in what they're able to do in the near future, as opposed to an immediate kickback to the players. I don't know what the team has planned with the money, if anything, if they've even talked about specifically what they're going to do yet. But I would have to guess you'll see the benefits of it maybe next year, and the fact that the team might be able to be more active and may actually have maybe a little bit more to deal with.
You had a player sent off in the 75th minute, Tyler Ruthven, to Dental, maybe a little too much on the tackle. What happened in that 75th minute? Who did he get?
Well, it was a chippy game, and you know, the two teams were very, very physical with each other, and the game wasn't overly – I didn't think it was a very cleanly played game on either side. DC United had the majority of the possession, but they really didn't do a lot in terms of attacking the goal for a lot of the game. It was pretty much playing some keep away. And once you hit the 75th minute of play, both teams were getting a little bit annoyed with each other, and the chippiness just – took over, and Tyler Ruthven came in on a tackle. I believe it was Morsink for DC United, their midfielder, who took the brunt of it. But Ruthven came up, studs were high, and as a result, they went straight red on it. At the time, I felt that it was more of a yellow cardable offense based on the type of things they had been giving yellows for earlier in the game and the things that they had been ignoring earlier in the game. It seemed like a very similar challenge to one that was given a yellow earlier in the game to Jason Pelletier. But late in the game, sometimes you'll see referees do that where they want to cut the chippiness down. So when they see a similar tackle to something they've dealt with a different way earlier in the game, the red comes out to make sure that there's no issues from there on. It was unfortunate for Ruthven, but it does continue a City Islanders unfortunate tradition in quarterfinal matchups. The City Islanders have been in three quarterfinal matchups, and not only have they lost all three, but they have also gotten a red card in all three of the matches against the New England Revolution in 2007. Anthony Calvano picked up a red card late in that game. Last year against DC United in the quarterfinals, Mo Odor picked up a red card just about 4 or 5 minutes into the second half, and then Ruthven picks the one up this year. So not exactly a distinction that you'd like to have, but at least it's something.
Well, I could tell you there's been at least 4 or 5 semifinal matches that formerly known as the Metro Stars got to the U.S. Open Cup semifinals. They were probably losers in 3 or 4 times. They reached it the 5th time. Of course, they went to the Open Cup final in 2003 and lost in the final then. But one thing definitely happened for Harrisburg the next time you do perform in the Open Cup, Brian. No more red cards and try and win.
Yeah. That in a perfect world, that would be the game plan going in, and you'd be able to carry it out perfectly. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out last night. And so important for the lower division teams not to fall behind early. And really, in all three of the quarterfinal games that Harrisburg's lost to MLS squads, they've fallen behind early in those games and have never gotten back level. They've had 2-goal deficits in each game. Mm-hmm. It's so important for the confidence level of the lower-level teams, and also at the same time for the confidence level of the MLS team, because most of the time you're going to have teams that are going to play guys who aren't always on the pitch during the regular season games. Just the nature of the beast. And those guys get out there, and if you let a team hang around, the doubt comes in the mind of the MLS team, and all of a sudden that confidence comes in the mind of the USL 1, USL 2, PDL, amateur team. It doesn't matter. The more confidence they get, the more they have that opportunity to win. And last night, the early goal pretty much took that out of the equation.
Now let's quickly take a look at the standings for USL 2nd Division. Obviously, you had probably one of the roughest in USL Second Division with only yourself and five other sides. But what's been the story so far? It's been well. You're climbing up the standings at all?
Yeah, little by little. And when you have six teams in the division itself, I mean, it's difficult to make big strides because everybody else is playing each other, and there's only so far you can go. One thing we know for sure right now, Charleston is the team that is to beat. They look like the number one seed for sure. They're 7 points clear of Richmond with, depending on the team, about four or five or six games left to go. Real Maryland's the team that's in a lot of trouble right now. They only have 4 games left to go, and they're in dead last on the table. So, really, it looks like a battle between Richmond, Charlotte, Pittsburgh, and Harrisburg for the last two spots to join Charleston in the playoffs. And with Harrisburg, I mean, they're playing well right now. The question is, with who they have left and with when the games lie, will they be able to recover from the disappointment of losing to D.C. last night? They have a game against Charleston at home on Saturday. They really need a result there, and they've played Charleston very well this year. And after that, they've got home and aways against both Richmond and Pittsburgh, but the earlier games are both away, and then the late games are on the are both at home. So they've got to find a way to get points against the top team and also then get results on the road before hopefully coming home and being able to carry some momentum and get the points necessary. They're just 3 points out of a playoff spot right now, but everybody else is still fighting and working for those spots too. So it's going to be tough. I think a lot hangs on this Saturday's game at home against Charleston.
Not to make you look ahead, Brian, but obviously you've probably heard the news as well that Dayton Dutch Lions of the PDL League, Premier Development League, for those of you that are not aware of what that means, they are going to be promoted to USL Second Division. So
yes,
it looks like it's some steady growth in third division soccer in the United States. And what do you know about the Dayton Dutch Lions, and what do you foresee for the next season?
I don't know a great deal about them per se. What I do know is they're an organization that is respected already by other members, and the fact that they're going to be a solid team right off the bat. They also make a very natural rival for Pittsburgh, and depending how the league decides to do scheduling and whatnot and who is and who's not in the league, it could affect how things are done. If they have to go back with an uneven schedule like they've had in the past, it may mean that Pittsburgh gets more games with Dayton as opposed to more with Harrisburg, but who knows how that's going to end up washing out. We've also heard whispers that Wilmington is looking potentially to get back into the USL 2 after a one-year hiatus. But
that is fantastic news, Brian. Honestly, no, I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's fantastic news, because so many times, I mean, I've never been to Wilmington, North Carolina, but I've always given them the respect when they were in USL 1, then moving down to USL 2. I've always given the respect. I've always rooted for them also at the same time to see them do well in the Open Cup, and it's just a fantastic thing to hear. You don't like seeing lower division sides losing their divisional professional status.
Exactly, and it's a team and an organization that's always been very well respected, as you said, and you know, it's the rumor that's out there right now. I mean, nothing has been official or anything like that. But, I mean, in reading some things and hearing some discussions, Wilmington is a team that with a different ownership group, I believe, may be looking at getting back into the fray. That being said, there's a lot of different places being bantied about, and a lot really is going to depend on what ends up happening at the USL 2, NASL, that entire level up above us, whether there's some teams that aren't going to be able to cut it there, have to drop down, whether they're going to consolidate that thing, or what they end up doing there. You could see a Charleston moving back up to USL 1 in that division at some point. I mean, you just don't know. And that's the very difficult thing with the lower level soccer, is if you're an MLS, you're an MLS, and you know that, and you know exactly what's going to happen. After that, it changes from year to year, and it changes greatly. And whether or not you have certain teams as rivals, it makes it a little bit more difficult to market. And that's the challenge that always faces these organizations from year to year is, you know, who are you going to be playing each year, and how can we let people know that this is a rival? It's great when you have rivals. And for Harrisburg, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds are about as close a rival as we've gotten, at least in terms of proximity and competitive games, as well as Richmond because of our frequency with them in the playoffs. Just love to have rivals that are close enough for people to really travel to and enjoy that camaraderie with their team.
Exactly. Now, obviously, if you would have defeated DC United, you would have probably traveled to Columbus, Ohio, and faced the Crew at their Crew Stadium. And unfortunately, Crew will be heading over to our nation's capital to face DC United in the semifinals on September 1st. And how fitting, we're going to have a doubleheader on the September 1st, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. DC United hosting Columbus, and then the Seattle Sounders hosting Chivas USA, 7 o'clock Pacific. Even though you are out of it, Brian, unfortunately, give us your own preview. What do you think you're going to see in these two semifinals?
Well, it really comes down to what teams are on the pitch for each of the squads. And I was talking with Mike Bullock, who's the Harrisburg Patriot news reporter who covers soccer and specifically the City Islanders in our area. And we were talking about that specifically last night. Have a difficult time. We'll go to the West one first. Seattle, because of how seriously they always take this anyways, and the fact that they're at home, that's such a tough place to play. I have a difficult time thinking that Chivas is going to go up there and beat the Sounders, especially with the Sounders being the defending cup champions. I'd have to make them a prohibitive favorite in that game. In the other game, I don't care that DC is the home team in that one. It all may boil down to, have the Crew locked up a playoff spot at that point? What are they going to be playing for at that point? Because based on what I've seen out of DC United, by that point of the season, once they get there 6 weeks from now, they're going to be playing just for the Open Cup. And this team's not going anywhere this season. They just have really not played well at all in MLS play, and they're banged up to boot right now. So I think the Crew, even though they're going to be on the road, I'd have to like them as the favorite. And how things have gone, you've got the Crew and the Sounders. If those are the two teams, that one may very well come down to who ends up winning the bidding war. And lately it's been DC United and Seattle who are the teams who outbid everybody when it comes to trying to land the berth for Open Cup home games. So I would like whoever would host that game, just because there's such a great home field advantage for either one of those sides if they would end up winning the bid.
Well, I will say this, though. I think this time around, I've got a funny feeling that because the Sounders traveled to D.C. last year to win their first Open Cup in their history, doesn't matter what level of history it's been, I've got a funny feeling they're going to probably host the final regardless. But we're going to have to take a look at U.S. Soccer's official website and see what's going to happen there. Once again, it's been a fantastic ride for Harrisburg. You had to go through my team just to face D.C. Darn it.
It's a shame, too, because the team that played for the Red Bulls, I mean, all credit to D.C. for their win last night, but it was just a much lower-level game than what we saw in the third round between New York Red Bulls and Harrisburg. The two teams last night were just not very sharp. And I really think that the team that the Red Bulls put out there against Harrisburg, if they would have played the same way they did against Harrisburg, probably would have beaten this DC United team last night. And I know it's always difficult for the Red Bulls if they see DC United having success. That always sticks in the craw.
Yes, it does. And we always like to, like, close the windows, curtains, you know, turn on the TV. But unfortunately, it's not going to be the case again unless the Columbus Crew does a job. But other than that, Brian, just one more thing. Your Penn Live reporter, Derek Meluzio, great write-up on my coverage of Harrisburg. And I just want to say, you know, going back to your city, it was a fun trip. I really, really had a fun time. And for those who are not aware, obviously Harrisburg is the capital of the state of Pennsylvania. You try not to use the car so much. You want to use different methods of transportation. I didn't want to ride on the bus because that feels like you're on a car. So I took Amtrak, and I left from Newark Penn Station, got on the Keystone Line, made a stop at Philadelphia. Once it got to Philadelphia, then the train went westward, and it went through these small towns of Pennsylvania. It was like a very, very nice trip. And when you get to Harrisburg, I was just so amazed. It was from the transportation center, which is the train and the bus, 4 blocks to Harrisburg Crown Plaza, and then 2 block walk going toward the Susquehanna, and then just getting over to Walnut Street and take the walking bridge over. I just had a fun time, and I'm just very glad I was able to share and also film some video of the city, of the Skyline Sports Complex, and just basically had a fun time, except for that one problem, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said it before, Brian, you know, look, I don't like it when the Red Bulls get eliminated from the Open Cup in the early rounds. But there's still a part of me that understands why this tournament has to be here in U.S. soccer, and I'm very glad it is. I wish they would expand it a little more instead of having it the way it is currently. I just wish all qualifying would not happen for all professional sides, whether it's the U.S. Soccer Second Division League, USL Second, and just keep the qualifying in like PDA. Adult Soccer Association, and hopefully the NPSL will get their own spots as well. That's my feeling. I mean,
sure.
You can make it 10 rounds if you want. It's fine. I don't care. But if you want to make it 3 or 4, just make it sensible and make it more fair.
And I understand that viewpoint. I mean, the great thing about the U.S. Open Cup, and it from not from an MLS standpoint, because the clubs have pretty much shown how they feel about the tournament overall, just by the fact that they usually use it as a training exercise, get some of their guys who don't get a lot of time out there. But it's a great opportunity for the lower division teams to get out there, show what they can do. It gives the players some extra motivation, gives them some exposure. So it's great for the players who are playing in it who may get that opportunity to bump up to the next level or two. And it's also great for soccer just to have that opportunity to have games like City Islanders against New York Red Bulls or DC United and some of the other teams, you know, where you have an amateur side going up against some of the higher level teams, and with an opportunity to play on the same field and see that soccer is a game that is great at all levels. And it really gives that great exposure. And it's a wonderful tournament. And I hope once again next year we've had great success in Harrisburg 3 out of the last 4 years in the Open Cup, getting the quarterfinals, and hope to look for 3 years in a row next year, making at least the same round and maybe further.
Definitely. And if you do face the Red Bulls again, whether it's down in Harrisburg or you're going to travel up to Red Bull Arena, I'd definitely love to meet up with you, and hopefully with Derek as well, and we can all have some fun and, you know, just have some fun and, you know, just chew the fat and have a couple of drinks here and there. Brian, I thank you very much for the time once again. Good luck with the rest of the USL Second Division season. Hopefully we'll have you on talking about USL Second Division championships or once you make the playoffs.
Sounds good, and I appreciate that. And I'll tell you what, Daniel, if for some reason the sports thing doesn't work out for you, I know that we can probably get you a job in the tourist division down in Harrisburg, making sure that you're recruiting people. No doubt about that.
Well, doing an audio commercial for the radio or the TV commercial by me, I don't mind at all.
Oh, yeah.
I just want my percentage. No. Harrisburg Tourism Board, I'm here for you whenever you need. I'm waving right now since you can't see it, but I'm waving.
I'll pass the word.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Have
Thanks,
a good
Daniel.
Day, Brian. Good luck next year at the Open
you
Cup.
Too.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was Brian Kaiser. He's the public address announcer at home. He on the road, he does the play-by-play for the local Harrisburg radio on the City Islanders. Unfortunately for City Islanders, they're done in their Open Cup campaign. They're 0-3 when they get to the quarterfinals, and of course there's a red card that follows them every single time. I think next time the head coach for Harrisburg, Bill Becker, has a meeting with his players when they get to the quarterfinals of the Open Cup. The first bit of instruction should be no red cards. No more red cards. So that's what it is. And unfortunately for Harrisburg, they will not be moving on. If they would face the Columbus Crew in the semifinals of the U.S. Open Cup. But let's get back to the final matches going on that happened earlier in the month of July. This match between Harrisburg and D.C. United was supposed to be on Tuesday, July 6th, but because D.C. wanted to avoid some form of asked Harrisburg if they can make it later in the month. Harrisburg said, fine, we don't mind. And right off the bat, once again, Bronco Boscovich, first minute. That killed off whatever plans, whatever ideas that the Islanders were going to have. And then a bunch of jousting going on. 23rd minute, yellow card to Mr. Jason Pelletier. And 33rd minute, JT Noon gets his yellow card. And then in the 47th minute, start of the second half, Thabiso Kumalo, an accidental cross going into the net, 47th minute. And for D.C., they get their yellow card as Barry Rice gets booked in the 62nd. But Tyler Ruthven in the 75th minute, a hard challenge. The red came out, and that would be the end of that for Harrisburg. They went down to 10 men rest of the match. D.C. United advances to the semifinals of the U.S. Open Cup. And, of course, they're taking on the Columbus Crew. And for the Columbus Crew, even though it was a bit of a choppy start in the beginning of the match, Jed Zahner in the 24th minute gets booked. But a penalty was given to Columbus on a handball in the box by Charleston. Emilio Renteria in the 38th converts 1-0 Columbus. And that would stay 1-0 going towards halftime. Steven Lenhart booked in the 42nd minute for a rash challenge. O'Brien Woodbine in the 64th minute also booked. Charleston trying to get back into the game. Steven Lenhart once again, big goal in the 70th minute. That made it 2-0 for Columbus. And, of course, Eddie Gavin, 3 minutes remaining in regulation time, made it 3-0 Columbus. They would defeat the Charleston Battery 3-0, and they would move on to the semifinals. I had on this past Tuesday John Sanday, Ultra Group, Chivas USA supporter. He couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. But it did happen. Chivas USA defeating the Houston Dynamo at home in Robertson Stadium. A 3-1 victory for Chivas. It would be Justin Braun in the 5th minute, an early goal. And that would stand up till the half. Then you get to the second half. Michael Lahoud, 65th, 2-0 Chivas. It was a little scary in the 86th minute when Dominic Oduro pulled one back. But Justin Braun said, no, I'm going to take you to the semifinals, boys. And in the 90th minute, he got his second of the match. 3-1 Chivas USA, defeating the Houston Dynamo. First win for Chivas in Houston in a while. It's a strong year right now for the Mexican-American side to move on to their first semifinal match in their Major League Soccer history, Chivas USA. Then you go to the Northwest on Wednesday, July 7th. The Seattle Sounders hosting the league-leading Los Angeles Galaxy. Not a pretty match. Not a lot of excitement, not a lot of entertainment there. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's quite all right because Nate Jacob just came out of the blue and he puts in the first goal in the 50th minute, got his second of the match in the 62nd. For the league-leading Los Angeles Galaxy, they do not advance into the semifinals. No Landon Donovan, no Edson Buttle, and obviously no David Beckham due to that Achilles heel injury, the Achilles tendon injury. Because Landon and Edson were coming back from World Cup duty with the U.S. national team. Nate Jaquia 50th minute, 62nd minute, gets his brace, and the Seattle Sounders advance to the semifinals of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And I just want to get to what we were talking about earlier with Brian. You know, the idea, hopefully, and we'll see what's going to happen once this this season ends. As we all know, there will be some former clubs in the USL that will be making a return. One will be moving to the North American Soccer League Conference, the NASL Conference, or we'll see what happens when U.S. Soccer designates second division status to either the NASL or back to U.S. to the United Soccer Leagues. But the Atlanta Silverbacks will be making their return, and they will be playing in the NASL League. So that's always a fun thing to hear. And as Brian has informed us, Brian Kaiser, Wilmington Hammerheads are making a return, brand new ownership, and that is always a fun thing to hear. And it is a positive thing to hear, because you don't want to lose guys that have been around for such a long, long time. Now, at the same time, you have those other USL second division sides that move down to PDL, like Western Mass Pioneers, like New Hampshire Phantoms. You'd like to see them stay in USL second division, but they can't. They just can't hold on financially, and that is the sad thing, because while Major League Soccer is trying to do a positive thing, and of course making sure their clubs are financially solvent, and with the ownerships coming in and new ownership groups coming in, but with USL and NASL, you know, and North American Soccer League, they're just getting started out, and one day we'll have Carter Krishnar on, along with hopefully Brian Kaiser, and maybe also Brian Kwarstad of Inside Minnesota Soccer. Maybe we can talk about the possibilities of what's going to happen in the lower divisions. And, you know, that's the thing. We need to see what's going to happen in the lower divisions, because it is essential to have the sport grow within the country. And obviously, you know, when you touch on the promotion relegation problem or the single table thing. Single table is not the problem. Single table can be solved whether you have it or not, or you can do single table with obviously playoffs if you can, because it is easy to do that. But the point is here is that you want to see the game grow, not just in Major League Soccer, but also in the lower levels. You want to make sure that every single club, if they're able to have a TV contract, or to have the facilities to maintain the webcasts on the internet, you know, that's the most important thing to see. And when you talk about the U.S. Open Cup, granted, you know, it's not going to be like what they do on the FA Cup. It's not like what's going to be like in the German Cup or the Coppa Italia, the Coppa del Rey, or the Scottish FA Cup. More needs to be done. And at the same time, the scheduling has to be a little more spread out than normal. And that's the thing, because if you take out the playoffs, then you can make it more a league season, and then you can have the U.S. Open Cup a little more spread out. And don't forget, the way, you know, when you've changed the way that the Gold Cup has been performed, because it used to be during the league seasons of Mexico during their winter season, because Major League Soccer would not operate between December through February. And the January window for the Gold Cup would always be, you know, a good time. Granted, you don't have your stars playing overseas in Europe being on the team, but it's still a strong enough side. But now they move, now the CONCACAF has moved the Gold Cup as a summer tournament in the middle of Major League Soccer season. I mean, there's nothing you can do. That's because it means that the national team players who normally play for their club side can come back home and be in this tournament. And unfortunately, you know, the U.S. Open Cup does get pushed back because of the Gold Cup. And that's the one thing that we all hope that can get fixed. All it needs is to be paid attention to from round one all the way to the final is more promotion, more this, more that. And all you got to do is this. Whenever there's an off day, if it's on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, that's when you make it round one or round two or round three. Whenever there's a day off, then you can do U.S. Open Cup. Because on that particular day, no one's paying attention to the Gold Cup. It's a day off. It's a break. No one's going to take a look at it, and no one is going to say, okay, this is why the U.S. Open Cup doesn't work, because there's the Gold Cup tournament that's there. And at the same time, maybe CONCACAF should get rid of the Gold Cup, making it a biannual event and make it once every 4 years like the European Cup and like the World Cup. But then again, that does have the Open Cup get more exposure. And that's what we have to do. You just have to spread the word about it even more. You have to promote it a lot better. And you got to get ESPN involved and Fox Soccer Channel involved to make sure that you get these things going. Look, if people go to Fox Soccer Channel or Fox Soccer Plus now and watch the FA Cup, you know, it's the FA Cup. Well, because it's England. That's why it matters. No, that shouldn't be the matter. You should love all FA Cups. I love watching FA Cup in England. I love watching the Copa del Rey in Spain. I love watching Coppa Italia from Italy. I like to watch the German Cup in Germany. You know, I... And it is here in the USA. It's called the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup because you honored the man who cares about the game in U.S. soccer. You honored the man who cares about not just the NFL, but he also cared about the game of soccer in the United States, and that is why his name is on the shield. That is why you honored him, because of his longtime dedication of the sport and the love of the sport. And the Hunt family, or shall I say Lamar Hunt, has built two soccer stadiums, the original in Columbus, the Columbus Crew Stadium, and of course at Pizza Hut Park down in Frisco. Obviously, it shouldn't be in Frisco. Maybe it should be a town closer to Dallas, or maybe inside Dallas, inside the city limits. But you know what? Still, the point is that Lamar Hunt has been honored by putting his name on not just the brand-new trophy, but also the name of the tournament, the U.S. Open Cup. So that's really what the idea is, and that's what the idea should be, and that's what we have to strive for. Everything is intertwined, like I've said before. No matter how small or how big, it all comes together. And now there's these rumors saying that CONCACAF, to take away that qualifying round spot as a U.S. Open Cup champion, to the second best point total for the Major League Soccer Supporter Shield winner. If you're in second place on the MLS table, you will go to the CONCACAF Champions League and you will be in the qualifying round. Here's the pro and here's the con of that problem. I'll give you the pro. The pro to remove it from the U.S. Open Cup and give it to the Major League Soccer second place points in league play, that is like what you do in England or in Europe. You've got the league champion and the next two or three positions of the table, they automatically go to the UEFA Champions League, where you have the fourth spot go to a playoff, or to qualifying, I should say. Would that be more in line with the whole Euro snobbish thinking, the whole European thinking of like making it to the Champions League? Yeah, it would. I don't mind that. I mean, I think this idea is pretty good. I think, if you want to say it means more, feel like more European, then fine, whatever. Now, here's the con. What you're doing is taking away the importance of the U.S. Open Cup. What you're doing is saying, this has been a little pesky tournament that we want no part of. We don't understand why CONCACAF did this. We don't understand why U.S. Soccer did this. Why did they even bother putting in that clause to win the Open Cup, and then you go to the CONCACAF Champions League qualifying round? Here's the thing. I think it's a disgrace that you're going to pull the plug on this now. The idea is out there. Because here's my opinion, honestly. Here's my opinion. If you were the Champions Cup into a Champions League, then you should have done it right off the bat. You should have said, you should have said Major League Soccer Supporters Shield winner goes to the group stage, second place goes to the qualifying round. You should have done that right off the bat. But no, you wanted to give the U.S. Open Cup a bit of importance. You want to give the winner of the Open Cup not only the tag of the best U.S. club soccer side in the country, but you're also going to be going into International Cup competition. International Club Cup competition. That's what you wanted to do. And what happens now? Now all of a sudden you want to change it? Why? Because some of the coaches who don't take the Open Cup seriously are begging U.S. Soccer to do this? No. The coach in where and when a second bid going to the qualifying round of the CONCACAF Champions League should be earned. Either you should have done it before you announced it, or you shouldn't have done it at all. Either do it before you announce it, or leave it as is. Because you know what? Everyone who loves U.S. soccer and everyone who loves their professional clubs in Major League Soccer, the United Soccer Leagues and North American Soccer League, of course, the other divisions of Premier Development League, U.S. Adult Soccer Association, if you felt that this would be embarrassing for U.S. soccer, for a second division side or a third division side to go into a prestigious brand new thing called the CONCACAF Champions League, you thought it would be an embarrassment? Look at the other teams that are performing down in the other countries. They're not that strong. They can beat up Turks and Caicos. You know, Trinidad and Tobago can beat up Turks and Caicos anytime they want. Jamaica can take out Aruba. Okay? Your group is not an official FIFA member, because if they've shown in past Gold Cups that they can do the damage, then maybe they should be, you know, what makes you think a club from Guadeloupe is not going to make the CONCACAF Champions League? Or Martinique? I mean, you know, this is ridiculous. I don't understand why you can't just say right off before you announced it a couple of years ago, whoever is second place or the second best total points in the race of the Supporters Shield to be going into qualifying round of the CONCACAF Champions League. This is what I have to say. You know, if this does happen, I think it's a poor judgment on both of U.S. soccer and on CONCACAF. Because the majority of us who loves to watch the U.S. Open Cup, that wants to be a part, and for those of us that go to the cup.us whenever there's a chat on their website, we love talking about the Open Cup because we're interested in it. We want to be a part of it. We love it. Should it get more coverage? Yes. Should there be some form of more TV or web coverage? Yes. More promotion? Yes. Everything, yes. The rant is true. I understand that. And, of course, it's all about who's going to give a damn. I think the prize money should be raised up. There should be a title sponsor with the Open Cup. Everything that we've talked about has to happen. Everything that we've talked about must happen. I understand the leagues need to survive, and if once the league survives, maybe we can work on the rest, but at the same time, stadiums are also a must. But that's besides the point. The Open Cup is a fabulous tournament. I loved it when Red Bull had to travel from Kansas City, Kansas, to Arizona, and basically just perform a match. Now, obviously, Angel wasn't available. We wanted to give him rest for the next league match, which was fine. But still, you know, I think it would have been fantastic to see Angel in the third round. But that was Hans Bacher's decision. He wanted to give the kids a chance to perform in the Open Cup tournament because they did a fine job in the three qualifiers. And that's the other thing I hope as well. The Open Cup qualifiers will be eliminated in MLS, in anywhere in the pro league divisions, hopefully. And that can happen as quickly as possible. Now, let's get back to what Brian Kaiser was saying. And I'm going to bring up my list here on my computer. I always have it on me. I have it in my computer, my document sections. The possibilities, ladies and gentlemen, the possibilities of more clubs coming. Honestly, more clubs coming back and maybe making this Open Cup stronger and better. And you do have Wilmington coming back next year. That's the rumor, obviously. Officially, Dayton, Ohio, the Dutch Lions, they have decided to go and be promoted from the PDL to USL Second Division. Of course, U.S. Club Soccer, Third Division, Professional Third Division. And at the moment, that gives you a grand total of eight sides if Wilmington does make the comeback. And you'll have Charleston, you'll have Charlotte, you'll have Dayton, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, Real Maryland, Richmond, and Wilmington. Now, depending on what happens with Charleston, we don't know. Maybe they'll move back up to USL First. If there will be a USL First Division, we don't know. But obviously, you're going to have Austin, Aztecs. You'll have FC New York. And then you'll have Orlando, Florida, supposedly. Oh, obviously, the Portland Timbers will be promoted to Major League Soccer. So there'll be a grand total of 16 American clubs, not counting Toronto and Vancouver, in MLS next year, 2011, with the Atlanta Silverbacks coming back. You will have a grand total of eight American sides in second division. So you'll have Atlanta Silverbacks, Carolina Railhawks. At the moment, we'll see what happens with Crystal Palace Baltimore. There have been some rumors, obviously, but I'm not going to divulge them here because it's just not worth it. Miami FC, the Minnesota Stars, Rochester Rhinos. Yes, we all know about the problems with AC St. Louis. They've been well documented, but hopefully they'll still have a club and hopefully they'll still be around. And, of course, FC Tampa Bay Rowdies. The Rowdies will be making a comeback. And you know what? Right now, and you don't have a crystal ball, you can't really predict the future of what's going to happen. But let's see here. You'll have 16 Major League Soccer sides. You'll have about eight NASL sides. So let me get my calculator up here. I can probably out for you. So as we've said, we'll have 16 Major League Soccer sides, along with, at the moment, eight NASL sides, and this is only American, of course, and you're going to have to also count the supposed expansion teams coming in. Right now, USL First Division, you're going to have until whatever gets restructured, we'll find out. But at the moment, three USL First Division sides, and that's Austin, FC New York, and Orlando. USL Second Division sides, you'll have about eight once again. And that's going to equal to 35 clubs, American. 35 clubs, American. Now, how can we once again bring in teams to construct the Open Cup? How do we do this? You'll have 35 professional sides going from MLS to second division to. Now, obviously, with the amateur sides, it's going to be 8 PDL and 8 U.S. Adult Soccer Association, or as the initials are, the USASA. How are we going to, you know, transform a strong 2011 Open Cup tournament? Now, obviously, once again, I've had ideas before. I think I have an idea that can, you know, once again work. And, you know, you're going to have to take a look and see, you know, what you can do. So here's my idea. Here's my idea. And, you know, at the moment, I think we can get 4 rounds out of this and see what's going to happen. Now, round 1, you're probably going to have 8 PDL sides and 8 U.S. Adult Soccer Association sides. That's 16. In the past, why not allow the NPSL, or the National Premier Soccer League, give them automatic spots and remove them from U.S. Adult Soccer Association status? Because basically some of these clubs are under 23s. Have them do a longer season and have them get involved with qualifying rounds of their own. Now, as we have said, we're probably going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 NASL sides. And right now, you're probably going to have 8 USL second division sides. So what you're going to probably have to do is lump in Austin, FC New York, along with the USL second division sides. Now, what do you do about Dayton, Orlando, and Wilmington? Well, it's very simple, really. You're just going to have to put Wilmington, Orlando, and, you know, Dayton, Ohio, Orlando, Florida, Wilmington, North Carolina, you're going to have to put them in the first round. And if you put in a couple of professional sides in round 1 to mix with the amateurs, I think it's a fairer way to do it. And then off you go. Whoever qualifies for their spots goes into round 1. If you have to give buys to some of these semi-pro sides or these amateur sides, then you go ahead and do it. Or what you do is this. Or you just automatically put Orlando, Wilmington, and Dayton, since they'll be moving up to USL second division next year. Like I've said before, you give buys to some of these clubs and have them ready to play in round 2. Therefore, you don't have to worry about fixture congestion, or you're wondering what you can do or what you can't do. I think it's a fabulous idea. I think it could work. Like I've said before, if U.S. Soccer is listening, if the Open Cup Committee is listening, I would not mind coming up to Chicago, the Soccer House, or if you guys are going to come to the or if I get the credential for the Brazil-USA match, I'd be happy to sit with the president of U.S. Soccer, Sunil Gulati. Happy to discuss this with him. I love the Open Cup. I enjoy the Open Cup. I would do anything and everything to make sure that this tournament gets recognized a lot better and a lot stronger, because that's the idea. Everything has to work well for U.S. Soccer, for Major League Soccer, and you honestly got to tell these coaches. You got to tell them, listen, I don't care if you have a gripe about it or not. You're going to perform in this, and we don't care. You're the president of the sport in the country. If there's going to be any griping, tell them to stop. Tell them to shut it, because you're not going to hear it. We're here to grow the game, and we're here to grow the game the right way. All I ask is just give me a couple of minutes, show them what to do. And if you want to discuss it, like I said, President of U.S. Soccer, Sunil Gulati, the head of the U.S. Open Cup Committee, I'm here. I'm available. Come to the website. MajorLeagueSoccerTalk.com is where I write. listen to this podcast. Go ahead. Please. We all just league-wide, league-wise, I should say, Open Cup-wise, national team-wise, we all want to make this game great in the United States. And we can prove to those outside of the United States, and even those from within who either hate the sport or just don't, who just, you know, Euro snobs, that these things can be better if you give it a chance. And so far, I'm hoping that this will be the start, and I'm hoping that this will be the one that will do it. All we're here for is to grow the game. That's all we want to do. Grow the game. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup quarterfinal recap show. Once again, quarterfinal matches, all of them finally completed. Columbus Crew defeating Charleston Battery 3-0. Chivas USA defeating Houston Dynamo 3-1. Justin Braun, a brace. Seattle Sounders defeating Los Angeles Galaxy. Nate Jaquia with a brace. And DC United defeating Harrisburg City Islanders, already a goal. Here are the semifinals. The four sides that will face each other in the semifinals of the 2010 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Both matches September 1st. DC United hosting the Columbus Crew at RFK Stadium. And then 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, the Seattle Sounders, the defending Open Cup champions, will be taking on Chivas USA at the Starfire Sports Complex. And another thing we have to discuss about the Open Cup, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Can we have, for the first time since the New York Pan Cyprian Freedoms in 1982 and 1983 as the first back-to-back champions, that is what needs to happen to be the first side to win back-to-back championships. Not how many, but back-to-back Open Cup champions. That is what needs to be done. And we will see if that will happen. Year by year. Once again, they are playing in the Cosmopolitan League, the New York Pan Cyprian Freedoms, one of the oldest amateur leagues in all of the United States. They are there. 1982, 1983, the New York Pan Cyprian Freedoms, the last club to win the Open Cup back-to-back years. Hopefully that can happen, and hopefully we'll see what the Seattle Sounders will do when they face Chivas USA. And, of course, the final of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup 2010 edition, October 5th, Tuesday night. And, of course, that will be broadcasted on Fox Soccer Channel. The host, I believe it's going to be on the West Coast, but you never know. We'll see what happens. We have to take a look. I haven't taken a look yet to see who's going to be hosting the final. But it should be fun. It should be exciting. It should be a fantastic thing to see when we get to watch the Open Cup final on TV. And hopefully the Open Cup will be televised a lot more than just the final. Both semifinals, hopefully all four quarterfinals, and a couple of round one, round two, or round three matches. We'll see what's going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. Normally this would have been tonight, but tonight is the New York Football Challenge. at Red Bull Arena, as the New York Red Bulls will be hosting Tottenham Hotspur, which is why I had to do the show in the afternoon. Please keep on listening to this podcast and go to MLSTalk.com. My name is Daniel Foyers. Enjoy your football.